Blog Talk Radio. Welcome.
Radio Network, where urban culture lives.
Welcome to Culture Zine Radio, where urban culture lives. Tonight on Inside the Game, we're doing something special. We've got a new show coming on Saturdays. It's called the World Jazz Festival, and the new host is going to be Ronald Washington. How you doing, Mr. Washington?
I'm very well this evening. How are you today, Mr. Abdul?
I'm blessed, brother. You guys have to understand, this is my brother from another mother. I know you say that about a lot of my friends, but this is really, truly one of my brothers. And it's a pleasure for me to sit back and talk to this brother about jazz. And he's going to be educating us on the history, the impact, the legacy, the players. We're going to have a great ride tonight. I'm interviewing for about 15 minutes. Then I'm going to sit back and let him do what he does so you guys can understand what we're bringing to you guys. So let's get this started, man. When did jazz?
Well, first off, Shaki, I'm gonna, if that's okay to call you.
Sure.
Jazz actually is a hybrid art form that came out of Africa by way of the drum. And it made its way across the passage during slavery, and it germinated in the South, and it actually developed out of the old slave work songs on the plantations, and then ultimately there was the blues that developed out of that, and so many different interpretations of those songs were then transcribed into the gospel music that came up during
right.
that time, and ultimately the blues that was really prominent in the late 1800s, and then it evolved to many different art forms from the 1900s to what we know today. And by the way, jazz has many different interpretations, the European interpretation, the African-American interpretation. Being that the World Jazz Festival has researched many different countries that have taken the only true American art form that was born and germinated here on this country, in this country, to become one of their primary art forms. And a good example of that was when in the early 1900s, many of the players who sought refuge to express their art form sojourned to Europe. And many scenes developed in Europe throughout the 1900s. A good example was Dexter Gordon. He went to Europe and played throughout Europe, and you had many players who became very prominent on the jazz scene in Europe that made a strong impression upon the classical players of that timeline, and they sought to express their own interpretations of jazz during that time. And now, as we've gone forward in time, many Northern European countries have their own jazz festivals. Many have turned out many really, really fine players over the years and have come to America, the home and the cradle of jazz, being what we know as the southern part of the country, like Louisiana, Texas, Mississippi has
a lot of credit for the jazz, don't they? Louisiana gets a lot of credit for jazz.
Absolutely.
Louisiana, New York.
Well, What happened? The riverboat was the primary transport of the musicians up and down the Mississippi and the Missouri River. So what happened was players played on the boats, and when they got to their ports, they got off and they sought to make some money. So they decided to set up playing upriver. St. Louis had a very, very, very strong beginnings of jazz, and Chicago. Ultimately, people from Mississippi moved north, and the blues scene ultimately drew the jazz players north in Chicago. And New York had a great, great, and still does have a great jazz scene. It's one of the hubs and cradles of jazz in America. And then also you had the Kansas City players, who were the transcontinental players who came from the east to the west. And, you know, they had what is called the Chitlin Circuit. And all the jazz players like Count Basie and Duke Ellington, and those guys came to Kansas City in the 30s, and they had a great, great development of their sound. So every area, Houston had a sound. Ultimately, San Francisco Bay Area, Los Angeles have a great, great jazz community down on Central Avenue, where a lot of the players could only play during that time. And you had big band with like Tommy Dorsey and Jimmy Dorsey and Jay McShann out of Kansas City, and Duke Ellington, of course. They all came to Los Angeles when they could swing west. So jazz has been germinated in the American scene for quite some time. And also there was a Northwest scene, and Pittsburgh had a scene, and you know, everybody had their own
great Northwest scene, right? From Hampton, great, right?
Right, right. That
the Northwest.
Right. You had guys like Quincy Jones, who came out of Seattle. You had guys that came out of Pittsburgh, great players. Institutions of jazz have developed in those areas, and big colleges and universities. Well, just to give you guys a picture of my history, my father was a jazz drummer in Kansas City in 1936, where he met my mother, and he began collecting records. Well, that went on for some 40 years, and my dad, Carl Washington, collected over 50,000 jazz albums, of which he used to teach me about the guys like Father Hines and all the great jazz players and singers, from Ma Rainey. You can go all the way back to the Hot Five in 1913, Bessie Smith. You have so many. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. All the great players my dad had in his record collection. By the way, the University of Missouri in Kansas City heard about my dad's record collection, and my dad, being that he had so many albums, he had more albums than he had space in his house, and so he gave a great amount of his albums to the University of Kansas City in Missouri. So I've been raised in the jazz market, and then I studied jazz with the big band at Laney College in Oakland with Ed Kelly. And Mr. Diamante was my teacher there, and I studied under Miss Rachel Eubanks here when she was alive, bless her soul, on Crenshaw Boulevard in Los Angeles at the Eubanks Conservatory of Music and Arts. And I also played as a bassist, was my principal instrument at that time, and we played many of the standards with Thelonious Monk and Freddie Hubbard. And we can go on and on and on. We had a great little band, and we played in Northern California. So I have a rich history with my family, as well as being a sound engineer. I did a lot of mixing for jazz orchestras like Mercer Ellington, Duke Ellington's son, and so many other different styles of jazz, like the fusion jazz market. I worked with the Stanley Clark, Lenny White, Chick Corea, Turn to Forever. I've done a lot of shows I have still have a strong Bay Area connection with Mr. Michael Oliver Warren, a bassist who was at that time playing with the Jazz Crusaders, who I was kind of like a roadie for that band. They did a Crusader and Randy Crawford tour, and that was a great experience. And, you know, I have a very wide, broad experience as a player and as a collector myself. So I bring to the table a very rich history and a love for jazz that, you know, I went from a little guy who sat on his father's knee and listened to Earl Hines and Illinois Jacquet and many other of the prominent jazz players of the 40s, including the bebop scene with Miles and Dizzy Gillespie and Roland Kirk in the 60s. And I got into guys like Sun Ra, who were outside jazz players, and, you know, McCoy Tyner, one of my favorite pianists, considered one of the giants of jazz. Miles Davis band. I played with Benny Maupin, who was at that time the leader of the Headhunters, and he went a solo as a player after the Headhunters when he did that historic Headhunters group. And that was a great experience for me. Mr. Benny Maupin played with Miles Davis on the Bitches Brew collection. He played with many, many, many great players. Okay. So I have a rich history, and I want to share that.
I want you to hold that thought. We're getting ready to pay some bills. We'll be right back. This is Inside the Game, representing the World Jazz Festival with Mr. Ron Washington.
Hello, my name is David Fleming, and the name of my company is Alabaster Box Soaps. The web address is also Alabaster Box Soaps. I make all-natural soaps from shea butter, cocoa butter, and mango butter. I also do make goat's milk soaps, along with several different varieties of lavender soaps. I do have a Facebook page by the same name, Alabaster Box Soaps, and I hope that you take the time to visit my web and my Facebook. I'm sure that there is something there that you would love to have.
Welcome back to Culture Z Radio, where urban culture lives. You know, we're very proud to announce that Mr. Ron Washington has brought himself over here with the World Jazz Festival, and he'll be doing this every Saturday night. So tonight I'm just giving you a little preview of what my brother's going to be kicking. And I wanted to definitely let these guys know we got about a minute before we really break into what we start getting down. I wanted these guys to understand how music transposed from jazz to soul. And guys like Ray Charles and them were very instrumental in bringing the jazz to the soul, to the R&B, to the funk, to hip-hop. And some of these transitions were made, and you can still feel them. I wanted to talk to you right now about what you thought briefly about the state of jazz here in America.
Well, actually, Shaki, the jazz art form is to me the heart and soul of America, and it has spawned so many different art forms such as hip hop. You mentioned Ray Charles, the Diggable Planets did "I'm Cool Like That," which was one of my favorite little riffs that they've sampled a really neat scene. So it's influenced a lot of soul music over the years. A lot of players, when they couldn't get a jazz gig, they went to the R&B, you know, gigs and made some really good noise. So it has transitioned a lot of different artists from one art form, R&B, which is actually a hybrid of rock and roll and blues, to make jazz many different idioms. And I think that the state of jazz needs a real shot in the arm. That's why we're bringing the World Jazz Festival, and we're making it a primary goal to introduce the young people who are playing, you know, the hip hop music and writing the new stuff that's coming out, where the roots were actually, you know, come from, and how that it influences other art forms, including painting and all type of different other art forms. And I think the state of jazz needs a lot of help in the institutions by teaching, actually theoretically, the jazz theory, so that the players can learn how to really express through improvisation. And when you listen to all the players of the 50s and the 60s, and all the way back to Louis Armstrong and playing with the Hot Five, you can hear improvisation. Jelly Roll Morton and all those guys, they were the foundation, and they're still around. We just don't have a strong enough for the jazz musician. In fact, my family, my significant other, is now pursuing a jazz career. She's in the studio putting together an album to launch her jazz singing career. That would be Miss Monet Swan. She's a great singer. Watch out for her track. She's going to give her all in some very traditional classical jazz, as well as some possible contemporary stuff that I hope she uses, as well as many others. I was involved with many of the players around this era, and many of them are gone now, but they left a lasting impression, and we need to keep this art form alive by supporting the jazz players and coming out and listening to them and giving them the same or even more support, because it's very difficult based on the economics of learning how to play, getting involved with the jazz scenes in their areas, including all the major and minor markets. And the record industry needs to give more attention to the jazz musician, who are really truly well-bred, well-trained artists, because it's very difficult to do that.
Well, you know, that's why we're doing this show here. And we got tired here at Culture Zine of telling majors what they need to do, and so we decided to show them. So we definitely support the indie products, the jazz, the urban culture, the lifestyle, its impact and diversity. And I think we're going to get into some of this music. We're going to do Singing the Blues. Remember you asked me to bring that down to
yes.
you. Can you introduce this song?
Yes. Well, I'm impressed that you took that list of very talented traditional old jazz players that set the foundation for this now 100-year-old art form, or 100-plus years, that needs to stay alive in our culture. We the young people, African Americans, and others need to grasp the art form and embrace it, because it's ours. And anything that's ours, we should put time and embrace and love it and nurture it and make it grow in our culture, just as we've made the hip-hop groups, just as we've made the rock and roll groups, just as we made the European music forms of the 80s and 90s and et cetera. We really need to give jazz its proper just dues, because it's really a valuable treasure of America, and we need to put our lives into a format that will allow that to happen, i.e. the multimedia, which I'm so happy that you're doing. So I think, first off, I want to thank you very much for having me here and let me express myself, and have as a jazz former jazz player who still plays, but I'm not out there on the scene, as an aficionado who has collection and has memories of all the greats that I've been involved with. I'm really thankful that you've allowed me this time.
Oh, no problem, man. We're going to get into Swinging the Blues, and we're going to get to start swinging. So introduce this song for me. Thank you.
Of early improvisation, and it actually was recorded around 1910, 1915, in that ballpark. And, you know, of course, it didn't get released until, I think it was 1927. But these are the type of examples of early jazz, the art form as it was developing in the South. This was an example of New Orleans-style jazz. And New Orleans actually was the leader at that time. You had Louis Armstrong, Bix Beiter Bix. You had Benny Goodman.
That was Bix right there, and, right?
Yes, it was. That was Bix Beiter Bix playing the Riverboat Shuffle. And Bix was one of the greats back in the day. And, you know, I have a love for all jazz musicians from back there because it was very difficult to maintain, and there were short lives. I mean, you know, many of them didn't live long, but they made a significant impact on the music scene back in the early 20s, and they gave us the foundation to build upon. We have so many great talents that we have and want to exhibit to the community at large, the world jazz, because it's something that we can't deny. It's ours. And that's, I can't overemphasize it enough, that it's the American jazz, is America's only true art form.
We want you to be able to tell these young kids what this music is, where it came from, how we got to be from early to ragtime to blues to jazz to funk, how this transition came. And so we're going to start playing this music. And Mr. Washington has blessed us with his knowledge. He's going to be playing on Saturdays at 8 o'clock. You guys got to call in. If you got requests, you know, you guys can hit me up on CultureZine Radio Network at Gmail. You can go Inside the Game Radio Show at Gmail, and I will definitely get them over to Mr. Washington. And we will be building a Facebook page for his show. So we're getting ready to have a lot of fun here. We're going to do a lot of things, the women of jazz, the women of early jazz, the men, the guys, the, you know, the bebop. We're going to do a lot of things. I want to get into a woman right now that a lot of people don't know about. But you and I have had these long conversations about Ma Rainey. And we're getting ready to play Ma Rainey's song that you requested for me to play. And give us a little background on why Ma Rainey is so important in this jazz conversation. And she gets left out.
Well, Ma Rainey, her name was Gertrude, by the way. Gertrude Rainey was her name. And she was a lady that, you know, back in the early part of the century, women weren't allowed, you know, access to the same as, you know, openness as men were at that time. And still, it kind of, you know, we still have some things there too, but of today. But she was like one of the leaders. She was not afraid. Ma Rainey was quite a lady. She sang the blues. She recorded a tune called the Black Bottom Blues, which it sounds kind of, you know, a little different, but this lady could wail. She was like one of those wailers that started in church, and, you know, she just had this thing about the blues, and she heard Louis Armstrong and Jelly Roll Morton at that time, and she decided to go out and do her own thing. And she was quite a woman that kind of pioneered the women in jazz music and jazz and blues between the time of 1915 to in the 30s. Ma Rainey was really influential to the women in that of her time, and so many times we forget about the pioneers such as Ma Rainey or Jelly Roll Morton or a Louis Armstrong who lived quite a long and prosperous life and was one of our vanguards in jazz out of New Orleans. So she was from down there, and I'm really proud that I did my research, and I used to listen to Ma Rainey. My dad used to tell me about Ma Rainey and all the early players and singers at that time. And by the way, Lil Hardin of the Hot Five was also in that number of women around the early 20s. And she was the piano player, and ultimately she married Louis Armstrong. That was Louis's first wife, was Lil Hardin. And she was the piano player again. And actually, when the band stretched out to the Hot Seven, she also played some sessions with them. And these records can be found. It's quite simple. You can go on YouTube and you can go and Google the Hot Five with Louis Armstrong, and you can find some songs that will give you some inspiration and some knowledge and some wisdom about where the jazz music came from out of New Orleans. But that was the New Orleans scene. You can go all the way up the river to St. Louis and Kansas City and Chicago and New York and L.A., and women have played a significant role. In fact, there was all-women jazz bands back in the day, too. So there's been a significant contribution by women in jazz music since the early 20s. So don't think that women have not, and we're not going to include these beautiful, powerful singers and players. Some outstanding musicians came through at that time and still are. I mean, you got Patrice Rushen of the day. You got there's a girl down in Mississippi that her mother was named Betty Miller out of Kansas City. She had the Milt Abel trio, and she had she held down one gig for over 30 years at one place in Kansas City. And I went to school with her daughter and played with her daughter, Betty Jo, who actually plays trombone and piano today. She's a quite accomplished musician, and there's many more like her out there. And I want to get exposure to all the women that are players. You had so many different players, flute players, piano players, players, guitarists.
Definitely going to get the instrumentalization of these women. We want to start you off with somebody like Maul Laney so you can understand where this foundation comes from. This is Culture Zoom Radio. We're inside the game, and where urban culture lives on World Jazz Festival tonight. And we'll be right back. This is Maul Laney.
Way down in southern Alabama, I got a friend to call Samson Sammy, who's crazy about all the ladies dancing, black bottom stomp and you baby prancing. The other night at a fella fair, soon as the boys found out that I was there, he said, come on, Lord, let's go to the cabaret. Well, that day you ought to hear me say, for to see the dance you call the black bottom, I want to learn that dance. Oh, to see the dance you call your big black bottom, they put the end of that. All the boys in the neighborhood, they say your black bottom's really good. Come on and show me your black bottom. I wanna learn that dance. I wanna see the dance of all the black bottom. I wanna learn that dance. Come on and show the dance you call your big black bottom. Them put them in my bag. Early last morning, about the break of day, Grandpa told my grandmother, heard him say, oh, yeah, and he told the old man your black bottom. I wanna learn that dance. Now I'm gonna show you my black bottom. They tell you see that dance. They done tell you see me do my big black bottom. They put the in a dance. Oh, do it, Ma. Do it, honey. Look out now, Ma. You're getting kind of rough there.
Welcome back to Culture Zoom Radio, where urban culture lives. You know, tonight we got an amazing guy with amazing guests who's getting ready to bring an amazing show to us. I want to jump into something real quick. I want to jump into The Sentimental Mood by Duke Ellington, and I want you to just kick it off for me.
Okay. Duke Ellington is one of my heroes. Edward Kennedy Ellington, who was affectionately called the Duke, recorded with some of the greatest musicians and some of America's finest music of his big band era, and he went through many, many decades of playing with some of the finest musicians, and was well respected by the whole culture. And In a Sentimental Mood was a beautiful, beautiful ballad that so many other people have covered over the years. And I think that it's one of America's finest pieces, and in the jazz music idiom that I think that everybody has enjoyed over the years. And I think that this is one of my favorite songs, although I have many favorite songs in the jazz music idiom. Ellington had something that very special and unique. And I think that with us playing this, giving tribute to the Duke, he was the king of jazz at one time, and he still to me is one of the top players ever in our history. So I'd like to introduce Mr. Edward Kennedy Ellington, and he recorded In a Sentimental Mood.
And for y'all that don't know, Stevie Wonder immortalized him in that song, Sir Duke. This is Sir Duke and Sentimental Mood. I want to play something really quick. I want to play this Chattanooga Choo Choo, and then we're going to come right back. Radio, where urban culture lives. Tonight on Inside the Game, and every Saturday after this, we will be presenting World Jazz Festival with Mr. Ronald Washington. My brother, I noticed that the music changed. It got a little stronger. It got a lot of swing from the older days of jazz. Would you like to explain about this era?
Well, yeah. What happened was you had the big band era that kind of followed the 1920s into the 1930s and 40s, and we just played Glenn Miller, big band of Glenn Miller playing the Chattanooga Choo Choo, and music is always evolving, and jazz is no different. That band, along with the Dorsey Band and Count Basie Band, and Jay McShann and all the other big bands of the 40s. They were really an extension of the early part of the century. There was always a band, but now you had instruments, a multiple of tenor saxophones, multiple trumpets, multiple altos, multiple trombones, to give it more of a fuller, richer sound. And the arrangements were really a little different too. But it still kept that same vibrant beat. And then also you added in the swing of it, and that's where the swing came in, the big dance floors. You know, the people used to go out and dance to the big bands of the 30s or 40s and even into the 50s. So you had this great big band attitude with guys like you just heard, Glenn Miller and Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey, and it made a real difference in the number of instrumentation. So you had these guys just really swinging and really into it, and I love some of those big band arrangements from back in the day. And by the way, they've still followed through. If you listen to a lot of your soundtracks and the big films of today, you can still hear the big band influence in many of the soundtracks. So our music is always evolving, and some is swinging, and you know, and it has its own little hip hop step to it, and you can almost see and listen to those steps, as you can hear these guys tapping. Like you had your guy Bob Hope and all the big dance that were based on dance, and you just had so many wonderful uses of big band in the 40s and 50s. Crosby and Gene, just great, great. The Dorsey Band.
And
you have so
and
many
one
different
stuff. My favorite of all is got to be the Count. And we're going to get into the Count. And I just
Count
want Basie. You to see, this is my favorite jazz artist, probably of the 40s and 50s, 30s, 40s, and 50s era. Late 30s, early 40s. It's got to be Basie. And this 1 o'clock jump to me is. That
oh,
was
yeah.
Actually the first jazz song I ever heard was 1 o'clock jump. I gotta play this. This is for my father and my mother. This is actually my mother and father's favorite jazz song was 1 o'clock jump. So I appreciated that you picked this one.
Yes, you're welcome. 1 o'clock jump is one of my favorite songs. Yes, too.
We'll be back. This is Culture Scene Radio. We're doing something new. We're trying to let these jazz players give these jazz their proper respect and the foundation in urban music. As you know, last week we started a funk show. This week we're starting the jazz show. We're trying to get you guys back to understand what urban music is. And with that, this is Inside the Game, Culture Scene Radio, where urban culture lives, and we're getting ready to play 1 o'clock jump. Count.
Here we go with Count Station's recording of the 1 o'clock jump. Hop to it, Count. Thank you.
interesting.
If you like that one, we've got a lot more. Hotter than your morning coffee.
Man, I mean, we're starting to rock right here, man. You mentioned Tommy Dorsey. We're going to definitely play that. Sunny Side of the Street. Let's get into that right now. What do you feel about the impact that Tommy Dorsey had, Tommy and Jim Dorsey?
Tommy and Jimmy, the brothers, were just phenomenal players. Then they became composers that wrote some fantastic big band charts. And on the big band era and the swing era during that time, they were right up there with the Basie Band and the Ellington and Jay McShann out of Kansas City. And it was amazing. There were some great Chicago players that had a big influence. But these Dorsey brothers, I tell you, they were really swinging, man. They had the clubs jumping, and anytime they put down on a record, the dance floor was packed. They loved the Dorseys, and they loved the Glenn Miller, and they loved Benny Goodman, who was Benny Goodman, I think, was one of the, in my opinion, one of the greatest clarinet players of all time. So you had a group of guys that were, you know, interacting with the Basies and the Ellington, and the Dorseys were just right there with them. They were just great. I love the Dorseys' arrangements.
With that, we're going to get into Sunny Side of the Street, which is, you know, one of Sammy Davis' favorite songs.
Love this track. Love it.
Tommy Dorsey.
Sunny, sunny, the heart of the street. Success Stories, Insights by African American Men, a new book by Reginald Grant, now available on Amazon.com. Cross-generational stories by black men about survival and success in America. Success Stories, Insights by African American Men, a new book by Reginald Grant, available on afamilyofauthors.com or amazon.com. Success Stories, Insights.
I had to play those back to back. This is Culture Zoo Radio, where urban culture lives. Because, you know, they were so much alike in sound that I had to play those back to back, and it just fit. But
Let's get
back to what we're talking about. You know, we still got Louie and Lady Day and quite a few others we're going to try and get in before we get out of here. But the goal here was not to just play jazz, but to do what in hip-hop called entertainment. And some entertainment and some education at the same time. So you start to learn your culture and your history of what this music is, what it has been, and the trials and tribulations our music has changed. So let's talk about some things here. Let's talk about how, as we moved forward in jazz, where cats like Billie Holiday and Yardbirds, you know, and of course, those famous artists that were like Louis were still around, making big changes, and you know, it was going into the late 40s, early 50s, and, you know, music was actually going through some changes, but jazz was at its height, what most people understand.
Oh, yeah. Jazz at that time was the premier art form of America, and you had people, well, Billie Holiday, for instance, another great lady of jazz, one of my favorite singers of all time, had her own unique style that everybody fell in love with, along with Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan and Dinah Washington. Those girls were just blowing, just beautiful. A songbird, each one of them. Like, you can't separate any of those. But Billie was a little different. She had, you know, Billie had a pretty rough life coming up out of Baltimore. And
she did have a rough life.
She had a rough life, and but her art form was still something to behold. And I remember my dad used to always say, "You got to listen to Billie Holiday. You got to listen to Billie Holiday." So I was listening to stuff like Strange Fruit, and that was one of the time my all-time favorites.
Which a lot of people don't realize is actually written by a white guy.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a history behind Strange Fruit. Billie, when she was on tour in the South, being that she was an African-American female at that time, touring with a group of Caucasian white musicians, was not allowed to look up. And when she went through this one town down south, they were doing, at that time, they were lynching black men. And the story behind Strange Fruit, if you listen to the words, you can tell that this was what that song was all about. And I didn't choose that song, although it's one of my favorites. I chose The Very Thought of You by Billie, and she did a marvelous job on those tracks with some great, great players at that time. And she really, really touched a lot of people, and she still influences a lot of the younger singers that have that unique style, like Erykah Badu and a few of the others that are singing today. Yeah, she loved Erykah loved Billie, and so do many other artists who have a passion for. Exactly.
Isn't it soulful? Because we're not reaching our level, and we haven't talked about a lot of great jazz musicians that went on in the 60s. You know, Nina Simone, a lot of these other guys, you know, came from these groups that were very raw form of music that really cut you to the bone, blues and jazz and gospel, really just exposed the soul. And what we're trying to do here is get you guys to understand that this music that we have now has no soul because it has no soul. And we're trying to let you guys understand that this is really coming from brothers like this and talking to them, two blessings for us, by bringing in these musicians and these artists. And the interviews that you'll hear these guys doing, and they're going to be bringing in music that's going to help. All the songs of our lives, do a lot of old stuff. So we're just trying to let you guys really understand what urban culture is. It isn't just one form of music or one genre. It's all of this together, combined as we grow through time, is why we got the hip-hop. All of this music helps to create hip-hop. I don't think hip-hop is just there by itself. I'm sorry, but I don't know.
I agree with you totally on that thought.
We're going to get into Billie Holiday, and we're going to get into some more deep conversations. And, you know, we never run out of time, but we definitely run out of hope. So we got about 20 minutes left. We're gonna play our way. We're going to swing our way through this. This is Culture Zine Radio, where urban culture lives, with World Jazz Festival, hosted by Mr. Ron Washington. And this is Billie Holiday. Very thoughts of you.
The very thought of you, and I forget to do those little ordinary things that everyone ought to do. Longing here for you, you never know how slow the moments go till I'm near to you. I see your face in every flower, your eyes in stars above. It's just the thought of you, the very thought of you, my love.
I want to play I want to play Yardbird, but I want you to tell me what you feel about Bird.
Well, Charlie Parker means a lot to me personally because he was born and raised in Kansas City, actually Kansas City, Kansas, but the jazz scene was in Kansas City, Missouri, on my side of the river there. And in fact, his mother moved maybe 3 or 4 blocks where I lived in Kansas City's East Side at that time when I was a child. And his legend preceded itself. His playing, actually, Bird. Hello?
Yeah.
Actually, Bird, developed his own unique style based on the Kansas City jazz style of blues and jazz connection. And his improvisation became widely known as probably one of the greatest improvisational players ever to play tone saxophone. And Bird went to New York, and of course we all know his demise, but nobody can deny that Charlie Yardbird Parker, was the premier alto player that actually started playing with Dizzy Gillespie, and they formed the bebop era. And the bebop era was like the rock and roll of jazz at its time. It was very swingy, very bouncy, very melodic, and very polyphonic in its makeup. And Charlie Parker was one of the foremost and loved players in jazz at that time. Everybody wanted to swing with Bird because Bird was the thing at that time. And even today, players of today will tell you who was the kingpin of the bebop era of the 1950s, along with Miles and Dizzy and those cats. They were really swinging. And Gary Mulligan on baritone, and there was a lot of great players around that timeline. But Bird stood out and still stands out as being one of the greatest alto players of all time.
With that said, I can't do nothing else but introduce Yardbird Suite, Charlie Bird Parker.
Thank you.
King Radio, where urban culture lives. Tonight we bring you World Jazz Festival with the new host, Mr. Ronald Washington. He will be giving you some amazing information about jazz coming up, jazz shows, different jazz history, legacy, the culture. Definitely showing you transitions, maybe even playing some comparisons of what music was to where it is now. Every Saturday at 8 PST, Pacific Standard Time, that'll be 11 New York time. We're almost out of time. I want to give Mr. Washington his chance to say what he needs to say and talk about his culture of what jazz is, what his company's doing, and all those things. And by the way, the name of your company is?
Seventh Galaxy Productions.
And
thank you so much, Shaquille, for having me on tonight. It's been a more than a pleasure to speak to the world about what I grew up with as a child and my dad's history and all the great players that we've played so far tonight. And there's so many more stories of jazz players of America's only true art form, and I'm just excited to be a part of your experience here. And by the way, the Seventh Galaxy Productions is going to be producing jazz shows around the country. We have plans for 2017 and 18, four shows, one in Fort Worth, Texas, one in Kansas City, Missouri, one we're going to try to do New Orleans, and we're going to do one in Chicago. And by the way, one of my dear companions' father, who passed on from Chicago, his name was Fred Anderson, one of the greatest tenor players out of Chicago, who started the AACM, the Advanced Creative Music Association, that drew about guys like Sun Ra and Richard Abrams and Joseph Jarman and Lester Bowie and Don Alma. All those big time guys out of Chicago. We're gonna get into some real heavy jazz, where jazz went from those eras into other creative art forms, including the cool jazz, the space funk jazz, the jazz fusion eras. That's my era. I came up with guys like Freddie Hubbard and Eddie Henderson and Joe Henderson and so many more great players in America that we're going to feature on our show. You know, I have a good friend. He's still around. He's blessed. I'm going to have Mr. Thomas Stones III on my show, and Mr. Ray Bailey, one of the greatest guitarists that I've encountered. Mr. Stones is, as well, in his art form, was compared to Train at one time on tenor. Now he's a flute player here in L.A., just an outstanding talent. I've been blessed to be a part of so many different lives in the jazz world, and I'm just excited for Monet and her new tracks coming out next year, I think. Maybe by the end of the year, we'll see. And so many other features of jazz from around the country, Houston, Detroit, Pittsburgh, New York, Seattle, Portland, the Bay Area. Oh, we're gonna have some fun, and I'm looking forward to a lot of the people inputting into what they want to hear, what type of music that you like, because you know we're here to entertain and to include and not exclude. But we had to kind of set the tone tonight for the foundation of jazz. And we could have introduced people like Jelly Roll and so many others. And we're just fortunate to be here in the land of the living, and blessed to have this show on air where people can actually hear the real jazz, real music, not sampled music. These people played music from their hearts, their souls. They learned it in the back alleys, the blues clubs. They learned it in the churches. They learned it in the bars. They learned it wherever they could learn. And then they brought this to America, and we embraced it, the Dorseys, the Goodmans, and all those guys. So we're really exceptional. Happy to have people in our lives. Being from Kansas City, I have a rich history of jazz, and fortunate to have people like Booker White and Milt Abel and Betty Miller and all the wonderful players, Kenneth Ford. I can go on and on and on and on about great jazz players around this country. And I'm looking forward to your input as well, America, because this is your art form. I'm not here by myself. I know there's a lot of guys and women that have had rich history in jazz, different idioms of jazz, and we're looking forward to hearing from you and your input. And watch out for the World Jazz Festival, because it's going to be something else. You guys will be really amazed to see jazz from all parts of the world come together as the Olympics do every 4 years. We're going to have that same format, and it's going to be a very enriching experience for us all.
I definitely appreciate that. What we try to do here at Culture Scene, and Ron's known me almost 30 years. We wanted we finally got a chance to put together a situation where we can actually control the input and export of the data, the understanding of the music, culture, the language. And I wanted to give him an opportunity to help educate you guys, as he's helped educate me along these years and refine my understanding of music and culture. And I've been blessed to have this brother in my life for that long as my brother.
Yes.
And so
we
thought about
very true.
How we can make this happen, man. And this brother, I had approached him a couple months ago, and I said, just give me a little bit of time. I'm figuring some things out. We hadn't been on air 8 months, and I knew that I wanted to do a jazz show. And I said, I got the perfect guy to do the jazz show. I just got to get my feet wet and get it organized. So what we're trying to do here is to what KRS-One would call edutainment. And I keep saying that because we're not only going to entertain you, but we're going to educate you on urban culture, lifestyle, and its history and legacy, from gospel, which we have a gospel show on Sundays, to hip-hop. So we're doing the whole span of everything that we do here at the station. And this is another blessing, along with the Funk Museum and all the other changes we have, five-time Grammy-nominated songwriters like, you know, Chanel Red coming on and teaching you guys about songwriting and publishing and those things on Inside the Game. We're very appreciative of the whole family. You know, Miss Goldie with the sax definitely give you that Atlanta sound with the New York attitude. We're appreciative to my founding partner with me, Mr. Ed Waterford, who will be running shows of his from time to time. Graffiti Blue, doing the poetry, which is a big part of blues and jazz. I would love to get you guys on the phone together. You know, we have Soundtrack to Our Life with several artists. We have a lot of things going on here. And so we're really blessed. We have a comedian named Big Beef, who's going to be doing the Funk Files with the Funk Museum. So we got a lot of things. Stay tuned. The website is actually down because we're actually rebuilding it. So be patient with us. We want it to come back bigger and stronger. But you can always go to CultureZine.com. CultureZineRadioNetwork.com will be back up in about 45 days with a new look, a new sound. The artist for next week, the old school artist for next week, is going to be Parliament. So, you know, and then we're going to start going into the jazz eras and the blues. And so stay featured with us. We're going to do what we need to do with that. I love you, my brother. I'm appreciative. I don't know how I can thank you for allowing us to have this hour and a half. And by the way, guys, this show will be 2 hours. So having you this hour and a half to do what needs to be done, to express what's going on, I thank you. I thank your company, 7G.
You're welcome.
With that, we're
going to
go out and have a choice with McCoy Tyner, or you want to go out with McCoy Tyner, or you want to go out with Heebie-Jeebies.
Go out with that swinging Heebie-Jeebies song by Louis Armstrong and the Hot Five. Them boys was hot.
Welcome to Culture Zine Radio. I want you guys to understand. We are very appreciative of you guys. You guys have been with us a year now. Celebrate. Actually, yesterday was a year for us. Thank you guys for being with us for this whole
Congratulations,
year.
Congratulations,
Chuck. Got a lot of things growing and going. Thank you, brother. You've been part of this since before there was a coaching team. So, you know, that's what that is. With that, I want to say we'll be back next week. He may not come when you call, but he's always on time. And remember, hustle till your haters ask if you're hiring.
Come on down to that dance. They call it heap.